Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I just love that scripture so much. With favor, God is compassing us about as with a shield. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the favor of God as it relates to God favoring you. And how that John chapter 3, verse 16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Okay, you passed the test. I did not. But then it goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him he might be saved. God wasn't looking for ways to condemn the world. And somebody says, well, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Why hasn't the end of the world happened yet? Because the Bible says that God is long-suffering. And what he is wanting to do is get as many people into the kingdom of God as he possibly can. You know, so while we would love, and when we say, Jesus, Lord, come now, he's saying, I still got some others that need to come into the kingdom. And so God is looking to bring those in. Amen. And then last week, I talked about favor with people. And how the favor of God goes before you. And how God gave favor to the Israelites in the sight of the Egyptians. How God gave favor to Joseph in the sight of the prisoner when he was cast into prison. And so the real key there is that God gave them favor in other people's sight. God affected the way that they saw those individuals. God did something between here and there. Olivia, stand up. If Olivia's an Egyptian, walk like an Egyptian. No, I'm just kidding. If Olivia's the Egyptian or a prisoner, that from the time that she sees me, that God gets involved in how she sees me, and then as a result, it causes her to want to favor me. That's awesome to know that we're compassed about, that at whatever situation that we go in, the favor of God is going before us. That before you walk through the door, the favor of God is on the other side of that door already dealing with what's going on so that that person will see you in a favorable light. Hallelujah. But it only happens to those that will trust him, that will believe him, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. Right? So if you see yourself as somebody who is unfavored, if you go into situations expecting the worst result and expecting not to get anything, you will have what you expect and the way that you see yourself. But for those that start seeing themselves as favored, those are the ones that will receive God's favor in every situation. Now, let's go over to Luke. Throughout history, we see where God has chosen individuals to use and to accomplish his purpose, accomplish his will. For instance, we go to Noah, and we see that Noah was used to save the world. Then you get another snapshot where he favors Abraham and makes a covenant with Abraham. And then later on, you see what happens with Isaac and with Jacob and then with Joseph. Then give it 400 years. And then he picks out a man by the name of Moses. And he uses Moses to accomplish his will and to advance his plan in the earth. And then we find a guy by the name of David. Now David was a little shepherd boy on the hillside. Just, I don't know, hey guys, can you work on this EQ a little bit? It's, do what? Well, anyway, just, I need you to pull some lows up or something on this, okay? Thank you. David was on the side of on the hillside, just praising and worshiping God. And the Bible says that God gave him favor. Let me look up this scripture real quick. I didn't have it on my notes, but turn with me over to Acts chapter 7. Let's just hold our fingers here. I'm pretty sure that's where it's at. Acts chapter 7. I want you to see this because this is very important with what the Lord has for me to share this morning. In Acts chapter 7, it's a pretty neat chapter because Stephen is giving a kind of a whole rendition of what God has done throughout history. And it says in verse 45, which also our fathers then came after, brought in with Jesus. This is referring to Joshua, not Jesus Christ. This is referring to Joshua. Some of your translations will say that. Brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Now turn over to Luke chapter 1. So something about David, as things are going along. Now remember, God originally chose a man by the name of Saul to be king over Israel. And God had promised Saul that as long as you do what I tell you to do, as long as you follow after me, then your seed shall be king forever. It was not God's desire and God's plan for Saul to mess up the way that he did and to rebel against him. And so when Saul rebelled against him, God said, I need to find somebody else to take over. And so out of all the people that were in Israel, there was one guy that found favor with God. There was one guy that God said, that's the one that needs to be on my throne. And his name was David. Now, David was not the kind of person that you would normally choose to be a king. As a matter of fact, when Samuel came to anoint David, Jesse, David's father, brought all of his good-looking, fine military-type children, his sons, to Samuel, and said, and brought them and said, thought Samuel would choose one of them. What this tells me is that David was not important in the sight of his father. David did not necessarily have a great reputation among everybody. Because David was one of those that just liked to write songs and liked to praise God. He's kind of out there as far as his brothers were concerned, you know? And so they didn't know what to do with David, so they just put him on a hillside with the sheep because he could only get along with the sheep. He couldn't get along with everybody else. And they said, you know, we're tired of hearing your music. We're tired of hearing all of that. You just go and you just stay out there. And so when Samuel came to the first son of Jesse, he looked at him and said, wow, this must be the one whom God is choosing. And God said, this isn't the one. He said, because I don't look, and get this, I don't look on the outside. I don't look at how he is. I don't look at what his accomplishments were, it looks like. I don't look on the external. I look on the heart. And as he went down the line, none of the sons measured up, not in man's sight, but in God's sight. Jesus said that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, we know that we live under grace, and we know that we're under the favor of God. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. And the Bible says we have access to that favor through our faith. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be just a normal Christian. I don't want to be an average Christian that just says, thank God for His grace, everything's going to be all right. If there's something to be done on the earth, if there's a great calling to be done, if there's something that I can give back to God for the great price wherewith He bought me, then I want to be the person. I don't want to just be somebody who is called. I want to be somebody who is chosen. All of us are called. But who's going to be chosen to do something great for Him? See, we have unlimited potential on the inside of us. Why do we have unlimited potential to accomplish great things on the inside of us? Because greater is He that lives on the inside of me than he that is in the world. We're not limited by our education. We're not limited by what other people say. We're not limited. We can go into a crowd and they could all look at somebody else and think they are more deserving of a national championship. I'm sorry. But in 1 second, God can change the whole thing. I really tried not to say anything this morning. I'm sorry. A second with God can change the destiny of anybody. Now, we can use that as an illustration, but there is really practical application to it. When you think that it's all over, when the devil says it's all over, if you'll trust God, if you won't give up, if you'll stay committed to the things of God, all things are possible to him that believes. Insignificant David, God said to Samuel, these are not the ones. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your sons? And Jesse said, well, there is one more. But he's on the hillside, and I don't know that you want to meet him. Samuel said, bring him. I will not sit down until he's here. And when David finally showed up, God said, this is the one. And here it says that David found favor before God. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of who? David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly what? Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast what? Found favor with God. Now, this is a very interesting scripture to me. There was something about David that caused David to find favor with God. That caused God to pick him out of everybody else and choose him. There could be a bunch of apples in here today. But, you know, when you go through and want to eat an apple, you have a tendency to kind of go through, make sure there's not any rot or brown spot. You look through and try to choose the right one. And pray to God you don't see half a worm after you eat that first bite, right? But you handpick, you choose that. David was chosen out of a lot of people. Mary was chosen. The Bible says that the history of man, everything that happened, culminated, came to one defining moment in history, and that was Jesus Christ. Everything up to that point, from Genesis through Malachi, was to prepare the way for the redemption of mankind. Everything after that point looks back to what Jesus has done. It is no accident that today, when we look at the year 2013, that 2013 is based on the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the defining point in history. But you think about it, that for that to take place, God had to choose a woman that could cause the most pivotal event in history to happen. Now, did God just choose Mary and say, any, many, miny, mo? And I'm just going to pick this one. God doesn't do anything by accident. God doesn't leave anything up to chance. God is very specific in what he does. And so here it says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Out of all the young teenagers in Israel at that time, there was one that caught God's eye, and that was Mary. Why is that? Why did David find favor? Why did Mary find favor? Verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Somebody else who had found favor. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're living in that kingdom today. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Amplified reads it this way. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. God does not speak without expecting it to be fulfilled. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Get a picture of that. We were just a big blob of water that was just sitting out there. And the Spirit of God was down there. You find that God was, there's Father God, there's the Trinity, the Father God, the Son of God, or the Word of God, and we won't talk about how that works right at the moment, but, because that's a whole another message in and of itself. And then there's the Holy Spirit of God. Well, here we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moving upon the face of the waters. But nothing happened. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. His word went forth, and light was created. And then verse 6, God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters of the waters." And then everything that you see, verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together under one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. And all of this took place. Now go back to Luke chapter 1. I wanted you to see that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and nothing happened till God's word was spoken. Now, Mary had just said, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel said to her, in verse 35, Luke 1 verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." The same Holy Spirit that was hovering over the face of the waters was going to hover over Mary. But see, the Holy Spirit wasn't enough. The Holy Spirit by himself would not create that. Creation comes from the Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later on in that chapter it says, "And the Word became flesh." Not that the Holy Spirit became flesh. Why did Mary find favor? Keep all of that in mind. Let's go down. Verse 39, "Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth." She went to go see. When she found out that her older cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, she went to go visit her cousin. Her cousin was pregnant for 6 months. And when she got there, Elizabeth, verse 41, was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Now, Elizabeth is speaking by the Holy Spirit at this point. This is God speaking through her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. From whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Not blessed is she that was chosen. Not blessed is she that was picked by God. Now, this is the Holy Spirit that is talking through Elizabeth. So this is God telling us something. Blessed is she that believed. You remember, I'm trying to hurry, but we gotta go through this, okay? David, when he went to see the battle, because his dad sent him to go take some food and stuff to his brothers. And they had been there for 40 days afraid of this man called Goliath. And so Goliath, who was scaring the living daylights out of the Israelites every day and just challenging somebody to come. Well, David, when he heard that, knew something about his God. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, a man without a covenant with God, that should try to defy the armies of the living God? And so he talked the king into letting him go, even though David was small. David could not, I mean, Saul's armor would not even fit on him. It just hung off. So David wasn't this mighty warrior type individual. But he let him go anyway because, I mean, you know, if a teenager comes to me and wants to fight in the battle and I'm the king, probably I'm trying to talk him out of it. But there was something about David and his persistence, something about, you know, his faith that just, it just caused confidence to be inspired in those around him. It caused the king to say, man, go get him. Go after him. David believed his God. And when he got out there in front of Goliath, and Goliath said, what are y'all sending dogs to go and come fight me? That shows you what David looked like in the eyes of other people. But God doesn't choose based on how you look. For some of us, that's a real blessing. But David said, you come to me with a sword, with a shield, with a spear. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I'm not just going to give your dead body to the birds today. I'm going to feed the whole army of the Philistines. And you know, he wasn't just smack talking. He wasn't just jawing a little bit with them. He wasn't just trying to annoy him. What he was speaking is what he believed. And because he was the man that believed in his God and knew about the covenant that he had with God Almighty, because he knew that with God on his side, he could not fail, because he knew he had been anointed king of Israel sometime before, there was a purpose in his life. God had chosen him for something. There was no way God was not going to fulfill his promise to him. Because he believed, he found favor with God. Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, think about this. When I read the Bible, I don't try to read it as if they're nice stories and that sort of thing. I try to put myself in these people's positions, because sometimes we have a tendency to take the disciples or people like Mary or great people in the Bible and put them on a pedestal as if they were so far above us that maybe we don't understand what they went through. How many of you know later on in life David messed up real bad? David was like us. Mary was just a young teenage girl. She didn't even go to Bible college. She hadn't been through all phases of ministry. She was just a girl that believed God. Now, in this moment, when your older cousin, who's in her 60s, is saying these things to you, and you're a young teenage girl. Now, it's hard for me to wrap my head around what it feels like to be a young teenage girl, okay? But a young teenager, my first reaction as a teenager would be very respectful to my older cousin and to say something like, thank you, wow, I received that. Isn't it amazing what God is doing? Or isn't it, or start telling the story. But those were not the first words out of this young teenager's mouth. She said, my soul does magnify the Lord. The very first thing that she did was changed the focus from her to God. Her focus was never on herself. Her focus was always on what God was doing. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Now this gives me another clue into the life of Mary and who she was. He said He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. This means that she wasn't somebody that was very well thought of. This means that she was somebody that wasn't the most popular kid in school. How many of you know that your popularity in high school does not prepare you for the true things that go on in life? For some of us, that's like, thank God, because I wasn't very popular in high school, and Lord knows I wasn't. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Where did it come from? Many of you know the answer. Dad has preached this for years. But all of this that Mary said can be found in the Old Testament. Every bit of it. Let me give you some examples. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That's part of that scripture. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. That's 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, and that's Malachi chapter 3 verse 12. For He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His name. You can find those in Psalms 24:8, and you can find that in Psalm 111:9. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. You can find that in Psalm 103, verse 11. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You can find some of that in Psalm 89, verse 13. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Psalm 89, verse 10. And so on and so forth. Why did this come out of Mary? Why was this the first things that he said? Or the first things that she said? Because Mary, regardless of what her peers were doing, regardless of what her friends were doing, regardless of what she saw, she had made a commitment to God. She spent time learning the things of God. She spent time allowing the Word to become a part of who she was. So that her first response, what came out of her mouth, the first chance she had, was the Word of God about her situation. And it wasn't that she had to rack her brain to think, now what's a scripture that fits for this moment? It was part of who she was. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know why Mary was chosen among all the other women? You want to know why Mary found favor with God? Mary was committed to the Word of God. Now remember I said earlier, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. But the Holy Spirit only brings into manifestation the Word that is spoken. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit was over the earth. But when God spoke, then the Holy Spirit could bring into existence what God said. The Holy Spirit, God had to find somebody that would receive His Word into her womb, into her heart. And the Holy Spirit was there and found that person that when she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," then the Holy Spirit immediately gave action to that. And guess what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was created in Mary's womb at that very moment. It was not created against her will. He was not created just by the Holy Spirit. It was a fusion of the Word that was in her, the faith that she had to receive it, and the Holy Spirit doing His job. And for that reason, out of all the teenagers in Israel at that time, Mary was the one. God may have wanted to do this years before, but in history, one girl was so committed to the Word of God that God picked her out of every other woman in human history and said, "This is the one to carry my child and to raise him up," because she would raise him up in the way that he should go. The Bible says that Jesus had to increase in wisdom. He had to learn as he grew up. It's in Luke chapter 2. Let me bring this to a close. As I was thinking about a title for this message, this phrase came to mind. A moment of favor. A moment of favor. Saints, there can be times in your life that as you meditate in the Word of God, as you receive what God has said about you, that in that moment, the Holy Spirit will come. There will be a moment of favor in your life that will change everything that has been going on up until that point. But it starts with your meditating and with you receiving the Word of God. Now, do you want to just be called along like everybody else? or do you want to be chosen to do something great? There are things that set people apart from others that cause them to be chosen. Those that would dare to believe God in the face of adversity. Those that would dare to believe what He has said in His Word, regardless of what their finances say. Regardless of what their body says. Regardless of what's going on in their family. Regardless of what's going on in their business. Those who say, I'm going to believe, thus saith the Lord, and be it unto me, Lord, according to Thy Word. Word, and I will step out in the face of the giant of economic downturn. I will step out in the face of whatever's going on in our government. I will step out in the face of what's happening in our education system and what other people are trying to say around me. I will step out and I will believe the Word of God, and I do not care about what other people think about me. I would rather be like David and people think I'm a little weird because I praise my God, but I would rather be chosen by Him to do something great than to sit back and to be comfortable and to make sure I don't make waves with anybody else. Amen. A moment of favor. Believe for a moment of favor. Step out and believe God. Stand up with me, please. Mary was a woman of faith. And her faith created favor. Hallelujah. As we're talking about favor for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I just want to encourage you, you are meant for great things. And it really doesn't matter how old you are. It really doesn't matter what's been going on in your life. It really doesn't matter what mistakes that you've made. Because there's always time to plant the seed of the Word of God. Amen. There's always time to believe God. And to say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. So I encourage you. Get in the Word of God. Find out what He says about your situation. Dare to believe Him and expect His favor to operate on your behalf. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we thank You that You've compassed us about with favor. We thank You, Father, the anointing, the power, what's available in Your Word to us. We thank You that it is possible for us not to only experience Your favor in a general sense, but Father, while many are called, we can be those that are chosen by You and can separate ourselves just by taking You at Your word. Would to God that more believers would truly believe the Word of God and stand on it in the face of adversity. Would to God that more Christians would take the word that says, I have made you more than conquerors. Through Christ, you have the victory. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And stop looking at the negative side of things, but start looking at the possibilities that God has given them. Father, I believe this word this morning is just birthed in their spirit. Father, show them areas that they've maybe drew back from the Word of God. Maybe they've drawn back from believing You. Maybe they've drawn back and just looked at how they can fix their situation instead of allowing You to do it and believing You and taking You at Your word. Father, I pray that You help us to be strong in faith like Abraham, giving glory to God. Because what You have promised, You shall perform in our lives. Give You praise. We give You honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout real quick.